Our second scripture reading today comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 2, verses 1 to 12. Listen now to the word of God. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Holy wisdom, holy word. Thanks be to God. Now on Sunday, every year after New Year's, the Revised Common Lectionary gives us a list of scripture readings to use in worship. And this Sunday, they give you a choice to either celebrate Epiphany or read a passage about the baptism of the Lord, who's already grown up in that passage. So I love to talk about the Magi's visit to the Christ child, and it is reflected in both the Old and New Testaments, and a lot of times people don't realize that it was predicted in the Old Testament too. But when there's a baptism, I always feel like it's important to use the scripture when John the Baptist baptized Jesus. So some years I may be doing that. But when we don't have a baptism, I always choose to celebrate Epiphany. And I love having the three kings especially come up. It's really fun to see them all dressed up. So the 12 days of Christmas begin, you know, Christmas Day, and then they end on Epiphany, January 6th, which happened to be last Friday. And so we celebrated Epiphany also last Friday evening in the Vespers service, with a reading of this same scripture. And then I also read excerpts of the O. Henry story, The Gift of the Magi. If you haven't read that, it's really a wonderful story to connect to Epiphany with. There are good reasons to focus on the season of Epiphany and not just skip over it to Easter. It gives us time to really focus on the mission of the church. When you think of the journey that the wise men took, the mission that the church as a whole is to be on is reflected in that long journey. To show the world our way of imitating Christ's love in action. That's what we're all about, showing the world Jesus' love in action. And so the term Epiphany means to show or to make known or to reveal. Like when you have an epiphany, you have a revelation, an idea all of a sudden. So it's a revealing or something that all of a sudden you know. And the birth of Christ is a revelation to the whole world. In some Central and South American countries, they call it Three Kings Day. and they bake a special cake, and they wait until January 6th or 7th to open Christmas presents. So back in the old, old church, they actually didn't celebrate Christmas with a Christmas mass. They went on to celebrate Epiphany and opened presents then. So I think our children and grandchildren, though, would be upset if they had to wait that long now. But that was the tradition in the old days. And even though they called it Three Kings Day, there's really nothing in the Bible that says there were just three kings. We can imagine it was probably a huge entourage with them and more than just three. But there's something about the human mind that loves three, you know, the Trinity, and we tend to count in threes a lot. So I think that also kind of encouraged us to just focus on three kings. Some books and some plays have come out with just three kings, and the hymns that have been written also have influenced that. So I look forward to focusing on Epiphany every year because I'm never quite ready to move on from Bethlehem into ordinary time. There is so much in the Epiphany event to explore. So today I will focus on first the scientific imagination in the story of the Magi, because I love to talk about science and what might have been happening with that then, and how this Epiphany event involves Gentiles from non-Jewish faraway nations who traveled a very long distance to adore and worship the Christ child. Now, this Epiphany event opens up the ministry of Jesus to all the world, not just to Israel. And it signifies hope in Christ for all, but especially for those who are suffering and being oppressed under the rule of a terrible leader, such as King Herod. Now, when I think of the birth of Jesus and the wise Magi and the foundational story that we all know, my brain sometimes goes to Star Wars. I think the Bible inspired Star Wars, actually. Anyone seen Rogue One since it came out? Oh, good. We have some Rogue One fans. Yeah. My son, when I went to Florida, insisted we go see it together. He'd already seen it. But I was the one that got my boys interested in Star Wars when they were little, so he knew I would enjoy going with him. And it was really amazing. But in all the Star Wars movies, the wise ones seek to know and help the one born with the power of the Force, who is predicted to have the power to protect the vulnerable people in the universe from the tyrannical, abusive people on the dark side. So see how the Bible stories weave in very well? That's basically the foundational story in Star Wars and in the birth story as well. Jesus is the light of the world, and Herod is like Darth Vader. And the Magi are like Obi-Wan Kenobi, the wise coming to help. So I could go on, but I will spare you more comparisons. But yet, I do believe that all the great stories of salvation and grace and love and the triumph of good over evil do have their roots in our Christian history of Jesus coming to earth to show us the way we are to be and to live and to give us a purpose to heal and bless and love one another. Now, Dennis Bratcher, who edits an internet Christian ministry called The Voice, expands on this when he says, "Epiphany is a time for focusing on Christian community and fellowship, especially for healing the divisions of prejudice and bigotry that we all too often create between God's children." So how does Epiphany do that? How does Epiphany really address prejudice and bigotry? Well, Braxton explains, the wise Magi who brought gifts to the child Jesus were the first Gentiles to acknowledge Jesus as king, and so they were the first to show or to reveal Jesus to a wider world that he was the incarnate Christ. The act of worship of the Magi corresponds to Simeon's blessing found in Luke chapter 2 also. Simeon predicts that this child, Jesus, will be a light for revelation to the Gentiles. So this was one of the first indications that Jesus came for all people of all nations, of all races, and that the work of God in the world would not be limited to only a few. The wise magi from the East had been examining sacred texts while trying to understand the stars in the universe. And so this is a map showing how far they traveled. It's amazing. They think it was about 1,000 miles, people who have analyzed this. And they traveled because they saw this unusual cluster of planets or stars that they believed did predict the Messiah had come to Earth. Not just a Jewish Messiah, but a Savior for the whole world. Modern-day astronomers believe the Star of Bethlehem could have been a comet, a supernova, planets coming together in a triple conjunction, is what they call it, or a supernatural occurrence. There are many fascinating theories you can read about. Most who study the Magi tend to agree that they were scientists from the East, probably from Persia, which is now Iran. And they were Zoroastrian scientists and philosophers. And they were called Magi from the Greek word magos, which meant philosopher, astrologer, priest. And the Zoroastrian faith is one of the world's oldest religions. And this is the prophet Zoroaster, or he had another name, but Zoroaster is easier to pronounce. And this prophet wrote and taught so much that influenced, they said, Islam, Judaism, and Christianity. And these were ancient writings that they found. These teachings of this Iranian prophet, Zoroaster, lived in the 6th century before the birth of Jesus. So this is an ancient religion that these magi were worshiping and serving. Now, Reverend Tom Long, who teaches preaching at the Presbyterian Seminary in Dubuque, Iowa, explains the significance of the Persian magi coming to visit the Christ child by calling them exotic aliens. That's what he calls them. He said they had a visit from exotic aliens. He says this alien exoticism is an intrinsic part of Matthew's story of the wise men. Long goes on to say, even the Gentiles come from afar to bow down before the King of the Jews. But oh boy, these aren't just any Gentiles. These are not the sort of next-door neighbor Gentiles who have just slipped over the border into Judea to help out with the wheat harvest. These are magi, astrologers. Some thought of them being like magicians from the East, carrying gold and perfumes and tracking their journey by the stars. These are Gentiles, he says, with the volume turned up to 11, causing Herod and the Pharisees to get all upset. Long imagines the Magi were like Gladys Knight and the Pips whooping into town on that midnight train from Georgia. That helps us imagine it, doesn't it? However, the Magi's arrival should have been expected, as we read in the book of Isaiah. They were told already that all the nations would stream to the Lord. Yet they never imagined that they would arrive with horoscopes or fragrant aromatics and a Persian religion. Now, Long invites us to imagine the unimaginable, that the God of Israel has, in generosity, turned the face of mercy toward all nations, and that the Magi from the East and the people from California and people from India and even Iowa can stream to Jesus and learn God's ways. So they opened it up to us all. In other words, the story of the Magi cracks open the story of Jesus the Messiah, the son of David, the son of Abraham, to let us see that there is a place for those who are near and even for those who come from afar. No wonder then that Herod and all of Jerusalem shake like leaves in the wind when the wise men show up and ask about the King of the Jews. The question implies a wider and more gracious kingdom at play, much more open and gracious than the shriveled little precinct that Herod, murderous Herod, has control over, and he limits the access to people. These wise men showed that Jesus is for everyone, always was, even before his birth, and always will be. So Epiphany is about inclusive access to Jesus, adoring Jesus, sacrificing our lives to seek out a relationship with Jesus, and using our gifts and talents to help others come to know Jesus and to see Jesus in action that way. The focus in the final lesson of this Epiphany event is about the hospitality shown by Jesus, Mary, and Joseph as they welcomed these alien strangers into their home. Now, you may notice it says home, not stable or manger. This is thought to be when Jesus was about 2 years old. And so by then he is a young child. The scriptures say young child, not infant. And it would have taken a couple years for them to travel 1,000 miles anyway. So I think that is something to keep in mind. They welcomed these alien strangers into their home. And they did not limit access to the love of God, even though there were many reasons for them to be concerned at that time about their safety. They showed love to these strangers anyway. As a result of their hospitality, then, the Magi gave their gifts, which provided plenty of wealth to sustain Christ's family when they became refugees in Egypt soon after this. The valuable gifts from the Magi, who journeyed 1,000 miles to honor and adore Jesus, would have provided for Jesus' needs a very long time. A gold brick in today's time is worth about $325,000. In the time of Christ, it would probably have even been more valuable compared to other things in those days. And they say the spices, frankincense, and myrrh were also very valuable at that time, hard to get, and would have been maybe as costly as the gold in terms of weight. Science, faith, inclusive hospitality, sacrifice, wisdom, joyful adoration, and generosity, all wrapped together, created this Epiphany event. So how do we take all these things and carry these qualities with us out into the world ourselves as ambassadors for Jesus? How can 2017 be your year of faith, inclusive hospitality, sacrifice, wisdom, generosity, all the while you joyfully adore Jesus with your life? Every day, you have the gift of a new day. Rather than make New Year's resolutions to lose weight and try to eat healthier again, ponder maybe how you will use all your gifts and blessings to show the world you love Jesus in 2017. Amen.